Hey, Flames fans, welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered. We are hosts, as always, Kyle Lewis and Brad Burrid. And today is a special episode, and we are doing underrated and overrated Flames. So this one should be fun, especially considering Brad and I have not yet talked about this, other than to say this is what we were going to do.
We never do, man. We just roll with it, man. We both prepare, but we don't talk so that the talk is genuine, right, Kyle?
Yeah, that's the whole idea, right? So before we dive into that, as I always try to do, I'm going to give another shout out to another new follower, Annie Palmer, who actually lives in the St. John area where the Flames minor league affiliate used to be. So thank you very much for the follow, and we'll try to make this worth your and everybody else's while.
Yeah, today's a little bit of special. It's a summer episode, so a little bit shorter than our traditional episodes, and we're going to talk about the overrated and the underrated Flames players. Pretty much in the history of the Flames, I guess I'd say it's a little more weighted towards the last 20 years, but not always.
Yeah. Well, this was your idea for topic. So, I'll let you start however you want, whenever you want.
I don't know. I'll throw out an overrated guy.
Overrated. Okay. We're starting hot. What do you got? Who do you got?
I hate to pick on him right away, but like Dion Phaneuf was somewhat overrated. I mean, he started off with this massive hype after his rookie year where he was absolutely sensational. And we saw a big shot, huge hits, tons of media attention, everything you could ever ask for out of a rookie and a young superstar. And then his level dropped at a rate that was
almost unheard of. Eh?
I'd say drastic, over probably more than drastic. And turned into a very average defenseman extremely quick.
Average might even be, I don't want to rip on the guy too much because he was a hell of a player the first two seasons. A little bit of liability defensively, but so much fun to watch. His play fell off a cliff. And by the time he was dealt to Toronto, even though all we got was a pack of pucks, I mean, the return isn't that bad in hindsight. Had they cashed in sooner, it should have been enormous. But I think by then, I don't know if Brian Burke thought that Phaneuf would have a resurgence in Toronto or the pressure got to him or what, but he was already starting to go off the rails in Calgary. So,
yeah. An overrated guy. Yeah. What do you, Kyle?
You want under or over?
Do an over and then we'll go and do an under.
Okay. Overrated. Well, I'll stick with the defense theme, Jay Bouwmeester. And I'm a firm believer that he was a victim a bit of Brett Sutter's systems in Calgary at the time. But I didn't get it, man. Like, for what they paid him and how little offense he contributed. And he was good defensively for the most part, but that whole acquisition. And like, remember how it like gutted our wings too?
We've talked about this one before.
Fairly recently too, but it still pisses me off.
We both feel he's a good player.
Sure.
It just that, didn't quite live up to the expectations, right?
That's a massive acquisition. I'll pair this one with him because another Florida Panther for a long part of his career is Olli Jokinen, who I also consider to be tremendously overrated. I mean, I remember being so excited when he was acquired, but he turned into a rather middling center for the Flames. Had some good moments here and there, but certainly not the franchise center we all thought he was going to be or hoped he would be, right?
Yeah, so, for sure. I'm going to go to the underside, and this one is my most glaring underrated Flame. I'm going to throw it there ever.
Wow. Okay. Glad I'm sitting. Who you got?
Robin or Gear?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I am not just saying it. I'm saying it probably for more of fan bases outside of Calgary than inside of Calgary. I think our fan base is super intelligent and knew what we had in a Robin or Gear. But you know what was funny about how we as fans and maybe it's just my perception of it. I never really felt like he got the superstar treatment in Calgary. When you went to games, you didn't see, I mean, you saw a lot of Robin or Gear jerseys, but not to the extent that you would see for a guy that played at that level. I mean, this guy was one of the toughest shutdown defensemen of his era. I mean,
it's not debatable. The only time he ever got his recognition, I feel, was when he made the Canadian Olympic team in 2006.
Yeah.
In Italy, which was a team that drastically underperformed. But apart from that, he really flew into the radar. I think I've told you I have the last one more jersey that he wore for the Flames. The Last Away jersey, I should say, and it's a pretty cool part of my collection, one that I'll never part with because he was a fantastic Flame. I think, what is he, second all-time in games played behind Iginla?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, he's second or third. He's
second or third. Yeah. But I mean, he just made life just miserable for forwards in front. He just,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't put up offensive numbers that that probably get the accolades that we're talking about. But man, casual fans overlooked this guy, and he was dynamite.
Yeah, for a guy that never should have made it to the NHL, given his car accident, if we talked about before.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that's quite a story.
Yeah. You want to hit me with another one?
You want me to throw another underrated guy?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to throw one from the 04 Cup run. There was so many players during that 04 Cup run that...
It's not Sean Donovan, is it?
No,
it's not. How much you love that guy.
Oh, I know. No, it's not. It's actually Rhett Warner. This guy was a defensive defenseman and was super important on that run. Super important. And...
tremendously so.
I mean, he gets recognized more for being a comical, funny, lighthearted, good guy than how actually good he was for that run and for the Flames.
Well, he also, he was a big return in the trade that sent Chris Drury out of town. It was Drury to Buffalo, and they got Steven Reinprecht and Rhett Warner. Both those guys were, I mean, Reinprecht didn't play in the playoffs because he was hurt, but he was a really effective Flame too. Yeah, actually, it's funny. I watched a clip today of Rhett Warner scoring an overtime winner. Probably the only one he ever had, but our friend Robert Munich had posted that. It was pretty cool.
Is it the random goal of the day? I love it when he does it.
Yeah, it was against Nashville in overtime. Iginla tied the game, I believe, and then Warner won it. So, yeah, pretty cool. So let's stick with the underrated theme then. Dean McAmmon.
Okay.
Forgotten part of the MCI line when Iginla first scored 50 goals. He had 51 points that season in the back. It's so funny how I remember this stuff. 20 goals and 31 assists in 01-02. And then was reacquired a year later when Derek Morris was traded, but couldn't play because of a stupid league rule where you couldn't be traded back to the same team within the same season. So he was actually on the 03-04 roster, but didn't get to play in the playoffs because of it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
that's when that happened, but that's exactly what it was. And what a shame too, because he was a speedster too. Like, he would have been really useful in those those games. But he was really underrated. And then another forward that comes to mind, and we're doing the super off the cuff, David Moss.
You think so?
Yeah, cousin of Phil Kessel. He was a late pick, potted 20 goals one season for sure. Maybe I think two, but the other one was somewhere else. But he was actually a pretty good winger. Like, he
was kind of reminding me of, like, and I don't mean style of play or anything like that, but, like, you know, and I'm going to throw this guy into the overrated category, you know, Andrew Mangiapane. Started off, potted 20 goals, was pretty effective. He was that undersized grinder and, you know, could develop things in the corner and, like, you know, played pretty well at a relentless forecheck. Kind of made things happen, you know. And then he just tailed off so quickly. And it was one of the moves that, I don't know, I'm going to throw this out there, that I think it's one of the top three moves that Conroy has made in moving him right when he did.
100%, yeah.
He got him out of Calgary right when, you know, it was starting to be apparent that he wasn't going to be able to produce the numbers that we anticipated him to do. And he went back into Washington, struggled there, went to Edmonton and washed out there. And for a guy that had a lot of high hopes.
Where did he wind up? Was he in Chicago eventually?
No, Edmonton last year.
Was it? Yeah. He actually became a hard player to track. I mean, he went from scoring 35 goals.
Right? Yeah, it was 35. Huh? I knew it was plus 20, you know. I didn't know it was still plus 30.
And
but
he scored one of the most memorable goals ever to me, which was game five against Dallas when he went bar down on the pass from backline at center house.
Yeah.
I was in Ottawa at the bar and I was losing my mind. I've talked about this before, but yeah, like he had a fantastic, fantastic season. I think there was an injury there that kind of derailed him, but I mean, to fall off that badly, I don't think he's touched 20 goals since, has he?
No.
Which is wild.
He was in and out of the lineup in Edmonton last year, and Edmonton was starving for bottom six depth and he was in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, and that's like, it's such a shame. I mean, I'd be curious, and like, we always want to be mindful when we talk about players and their decline and the struggles. I mean, it's a super hard sport. There's a ton of injuries. There's a ton of factors. Like, by no means are we putting the guy down. He plays pro hockey. Not one of us ever did. But I'd like to hear from him someday in his own estimation what caused the spike and the fall in those numbers. Because it's really remarkable to look at. 35 goals down to single digits. Like, it's just nuts. But anyway.
Oh, and you know what? It's probably more common than you think. Like, if we really went through the history of players, I mean, I think these rides and declines are becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially there's more competition than ever. Players are in better shape than ever. There's all kinds of factors, right? It's funny. I don't know where I'm going to go next with this. Who's another one? I'll go underrated and say Freddie Brathwaite.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the best goaltenders in Flames history. Like,
number-wise, he was.
Yeah. I got flipped to St. Louis in the trade that brought Roman Turek to Calgary. Who always had a soft spot for Roman Turek, but Brathwaite, I mean, he's made some of the greatest saves in Flames history. You can YouTube it and you'll see them, especially that one against Detroit. But like, he was like a small goaltender. He was like 5'8 or something ridiculous, 5'7 maybe. Very, very agile. Like, had a great, great career as a Flame. Had a good NHL career in general, but was a great Flame. Yeah, I remember that they interviewed him when they brought Blasty back. They interviewed him, Val Bure, like a lot of the guys around. It was cool.
Isn't it funny, like, when you say a Flames player, right, you picture them. And I picture him in a Blasty jersey. I don't do that for too many. I do that for Dylan Dubé for some reason also.
Oh, because of that glove thing when he scored that goal.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It's funny. You know what? This is really off the cuff too. When I say Sean Monahan, who's one of my favorite Flames, I really enjoyed watching him play over the years. I picture him in the old Calgary script jersey, and I don't know why.
It came out during his rookie season. That's why.
Yeah. I just picture him in that.
Oh God. Yeah, and I mentioned Brathwaite and Bure. Well, Bure was a good example too. Val Bure was a great Flame at 35 goals one season, 28, I believe, in another. But then got traded to Florida for Rob Niedermeyer in what was ultimately one of the worst trades that Craig Button made, because Niedermeyer just couldn't score and Bure could, right? Bure was reunited with his brother in Florida. That didn't really pan out either. Then he ended up retiring in Dallas. But as a Flame, he was picked up quite cheaply from Montreal. Val Bure was a really, really good player.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned him. I probably shouldn't be allowed to talk about him anymore. I'm not going to say Sean Donovan, but I probably shouldn't be allowed to talk about this guy either. But Christian Eustalius was an underrated player too. I mean, super skilled, super, super skilled winger. And often forgot about just because of the teams he played on. Right.
I mean, the teams he played on underachieved. And I mean, he had some issues later in life too, that, you know, that were pretty well documented in the media. But I mean, for him, he was one of the most skilled players Flames ever had. And Mike Keenan ran him out of town is basically what happened. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, and that's the thing. And when we talk about these players, this is why Alex Tanguay left too. This is why I decried the Jay Bouwmeester situation early. Okunin, like, a lot of these coaches just tried so hard, in some cases succeed, but tried so hard to convert offensive players into responsible two-way players. And it's like, they stymied so much offense, and Tanguay and Eustalius are two guys that really suffered from that, right?
I mean, I think, like, when you think about that from like a coaching perspective, I need a guy to be responsible, but not responsible to the point that it is a detriment to him the other direction.
Yeah.
I think one of the things too that happens is coaches will try to make players defensively responsible instead of having just responsible systems, right? And I also look at, like, we've talked about this too with Huska's system, like, there's got to be a little bit more leeway.
There has to be.
Otherwise, we're never going to get out of this funk. I don't care how offensively talented we draft players. There's got to be a little bit of give and go, and that's coming from a guy that's like ultra defensively conservative in myself. You got to unleash the offense in some of these guys. You just have to.
Yeah, big time, big time. But since we're talking about defensive, you know, mindset, Stefan Yell.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very proficient in the faceoff circle, super reliable. Just he was a really, really effective forward for Flames for a number of years until he eventually wound up back in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken. But he was a huge part of the late 2000s teams that, you know, could have, should have, would have, but didn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, gonna give him a shout out for sure. I haven't thought about that guy in a long time, but he was really effective.
I'm interested to see what you think of this one. I got an overrated guy. Olli Jokinen.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned him earlier, right?
Yeah.
Because the whole floor connection. But he, and I guess because he was such a prominent acquisition, we can revisit that. He, remember when he came in on a line with Camilleri and Iginla and they beat Philly 7-1?
Yeah.
Like just dummied them. I think Jokinen might have even had a hat trick. Like it was nuts. And it's like, oh my God, like this team's for real. And then he just fell off a cliff from there.
Another overrated, and I hate to do this because I love this guy's style of play. Like I really was a fan of this guy, even when he was in Calgary. But Travis Hamonic was, you know, the deal, that was a crazy deal. Like with the trade package was so significant.
Yeah.
But also I thought it wasn't, and I know I'd probably get some flack on this one. I didn't think it was bad timing to bring in a guy like Hamonic because we needed that top end stabilizing defensive player. But when you think back, like there was so much good that he did, but then there was some difficulties with who he's partnered with sometimes. And then, you know, the bubble thing where he chose not to go, and like there's just so many different things.
I forgot all about that, actually.
And that almost was, and I'm not saying that he was like shunned because of that in the organization, but like that was his end in Calgary, was him saying, I'm not going to go play in the playoffs. And I'm like, wait a minute, we need you. You're going to the safest place on earth.
Yeah. 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 It's strange to think about. I mean, obviously the player can't help the assets that are used to acquire him.
Oh, no.
And at the time, if I remember correctly, and at least I'll speak for myself, I was excited to bring him in. I remember thinking, oof, that's a lot.
I was excited too. I was super excited.
But I agree with you. He is a player that we certainly need. And he was a good Flame. But again, it's, could we have spent way less assets for somebody probably as reliable, damn near it? I think so. But again, that's hindsight, right? I met him in Columbus when I met Monahan, Gio, and Lucic, and he's a great guy. You know, does a lot for kids. We should mention that too, because I mean, he grew up without a father, right? Or lost his father at a very young age, I should say, and it really influenced the way he is with kids now. And fantastic human being. But after he left Calgary, I mean, that was kind of it. I mean, he wound up in Ottawa for a little bit, and
kind of here and there around
somewhere else too, but I can't even think of it. It which is crazy to think, because those seasons don't feel that long ago. Like even like Brody retiring,
I know
who I think you could throw in the underrated category, played 600 and some games as a Flame, like, you know, a late pick, like a really, really effective player. But yeah, the Hamonic thing, like when the wheels came off and his time in Calgary was done, like it was his NHL career, you know, he was in Detroit for another year. That's what it was. Detroit and Ottawa.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was see you later.
Brody was one of those guys, and I'm going to speak for my thing, is when we had him, I hated him because he was because of his turnovers. But then when he was gone, I missed a lot of things he did. So it was like, hell, dang it. You know, I ripped on the guy, and when we didn't have him, I missed him.
I'm going to throw another fun one. This is, I mean, I wrote a few names down, but this one just jumped into my head. Adrian O'Coin. And
short career here.
Yeah, two seasons, had 10-plus goals both seasons, but the reason I would say he's underrated is he was acquired for a bag of pucks, basically, from the Blackhawks after some injury-riddled seasons. And the Flames rolled the dice, and he paid off tenfold. I mean, for what he did in his short time here, he was very effective.
Okay, you're going to have to help me through this. I thought of a defenseman when you said Adrian O'Coin. We lost him to Vegas, I believe, in the expansion draft. Refresh my memory.
Derek Engeland?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was very, very good in Calgary.
I remember my buddy Will McLaren that I used to work with. He's an avid hockey fan. He's been published in the Hockey News. He knows his stuff inside out. I remember him texting me, I think it was July 1st that year when he signed that deal in Calgary. And he, like his wife, Krista, is a huge Penguins fan. So he was very well acquainted with Derek Engelin, and he was making fun of me up and down. And I don't blame him because at the time I'm like, oh my God, what? The only defense I had was like, well, we're trying to get to the cap floor basically, so we need to sign bodies. But he actually turned into a pretty effective defenseman and then, you know, rewrote Flames history by fighting two guys at once, which I was that Vancouver, I think it was.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is just awesome.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was, yeah, that was something else.
Another underrated guy that, and I don't know, I'm sure I'll be pushback from this. And I'm looking at this a little bit more league wide. Our current captain, Michael Backlund, has mm-hmm. done everything he's ever been asked to do in Calgary. And I know people, he still gets a lot of criticism in Calgary because he's team captain. And I get frustrated with that a little bit in the fact that, like, just because he's not the prolific scorer that many fans think he shouldn't be captain.
Yeah.
And if we were going to do it for prolific scorers, we wouldn't have a captain. So let's be honest. And Michael Backlund is like been the consummate two-way forward since the day he arrived in Calgary. He's done everything this organization has ever asked. And he rarely gets league-wide recognition on his play.
Yeah, he's like a peripheral Selke candidate most of his career. And I was actually thinking of him too. I mean, he's always been, like you said, reliable, 40-ish points, very consistent. It's scary to think when you look, especially more recently, as the summer winds down in a hockey sense. You know, but seeing Backlund in our depth chart as a number one center is absolutely terrifying. He shouldn't be any higher than three, and he's at the very least he's going to be two the way things are stacking up right now, right?
And he would be the first to tell you that, and that's how he should be utilized, is that elite defensive center. That's it. A penalty kill guy. You know, he's been incredibly consistent in the faceoff circle. And that screams third line center, and that's where he should be. But because we are so inept at developing and getting centers, this is where we're at, right? It's not his fault, man.
Not at all. He's been a great player.
I think league-wide, I think if you took 100 hockey fans, right, from markets outside of Calgary, and you said, all right, we're going to name captains of 10 teams, and when they got to Calgary, they would struggle to name Calgary's captain.
Yeah, I would think so. Speaking with, you know, about the center theme, though, Damon Lankow, don't spend a lot of time talking about him, but we both know, I mean, he had seasons of 59 points, 77 points was the high water mark for him. Filled in admirably for a guy that was never really a number one center, but was very, very effective as a Flame. Was essentially brought in to replace Craig Conroy, who later returned. He's definitely worth mentioning on this particular episode. Trying to think who else. There's so many names going through my head. It's hard to, you know, it's almost like you're playing like a slot machine and you're trying to nail it and just keep going.
Dougie Hamilton was an overrated player, I felt, in Calgary. I mean, he put up fairly strong offensive numbers in his time in Calgary, but defensively, kind of was a circus on most nights.
100%. Yeah. I mean, well, there's a lot that, how do I even begin with Dougie Hamilton? A very unique package, like a very good skating defenseman, picked his spots extremely well. I would say lacked intensity, and I don't just mean like physical play, but I mean like just his.
Oh, he lacked physical for sure, but he
did. But just his overall cadence at times was a little bit problematic. Like he didn't strike me, and this was probably made too much of a big deal at the time. But like he didn't strike me as a real leader in the locker room. There's just separation rumors there and whatever. But still has had a hell of a career.
He's
probably the reason, or one of the reasons, I should say. Amongst Luke Hughes and others, that the Devils felt that Simon Nemec was expendable insofar as they did. So, but yeah, as a Flame, it's like it was a good deal. It was a good player, and he was traded for a great package. So nothing bad to say about him, other than that I do agree that I felt like he was considered like a Norris candidate, and that just never happened.
So you mentioned this nonchalant you know, his style of play was nonchalant.
Yeah.
And some players are just like that, right? Some players, that's just they're that's just the way they play.
Yeah.
This year, one of the complaints on Zane Parekh was his nonchalant play.
He's also a kid, right?
I know, but don't you think a kid would even be more like? I don't know. I don't know, and I'm not comparing you at all. I'm not.
No, and I don't know either. I mean, there are some similarities in terms of how they skate and some of the offensive instincts. Although Parekh is seemingly on another level, but jury's kind of out on that. I mean,
yeah.
I think with Zane Parekh, I mean, I think he's probably been coddled a lot because he is so super skilled. So.
It develops that nonchalant, and I don't think I will say this at the latter part of the stages of the season when he was playing a little bit better, I didn't notice that nonchalant as much.
I think he saw an opportunity too, right? I think he saw an opportunity with the guys that were moved out. I mean, this is one we'll have to talk about down the road, but a guy that it's hard to overrate him, so we almost have to call him underrated is Blake Coleman.
Blake Coleman, yeah, we're going to talk about him for years to come. We're going to miss his style. We're going to miss what he brings to the game.
I'm not even sure if it's arguable to say that he wasn't the best free agent signing.
I know you said this. You've said this multiple times on the show, and I can't argue with you on it.
Well, I mean, every other good contract is somebody re-signed, but like in terms of something as good as that, I mean, like the Iginla contracts and that kind of thing, but man, was he great.
I know. I it sucks that he was part of the really, I guess, the solid Dallas game seven, but what if we could have had him in some of the more prolific runs, like in 04, like, man.
Yeah. Yeah. A player like that in a series like that, you know, if the timelines had mirrored up, would have been great, but, I'm trying to think of goalies, but I mean, there's just been so many. I mean,
overrated Jonas Hiller. I love that guy. I was so excited for that guy. And then,
he was great in that first season, though.
He was, you know, here's an overrated one. Like, and I don't know. I thought he was really good. Well, you just didn't know what you were going to get. But Jacob Markstrom, one year he would be like a Vezina candidate. And then the next year, he would be like, what do we get this guy? Yeah, and then the next year, he'd be a Vezina candidate again. It's like, so I don't know. He was both over and underrated, probably.
Well, similar to Brian Elliott, who had arguably the greatest look in Flames goaltender's history with his red pads and all that. And he had a phenomenal regular season his one year at the Flames, but was absolutely abysmal.
Yeah.
And that's 2017, I believe. And he cost the Flames a playoff win. Flat out. I mean, I'm not saying the Flames would have won that series against the Ducks, but it would have probably gone 6 or 7. Had Elliott just been able to stop anything, but man, I don't know what was going on with him that series, but for a guy that came in with as much hype as he did and performed as well in the regular season as he did, man, he fell apart bad. And Chad Johnson, I mean, that was, you know, he was a great backup. One of the best ones we'd had.
Really good backup for us. Super solid.
Yeah. So I'd say he's a little underrated, especially when you think about all the goalies, like I said, that have come and gone. So Phil Sauvé, Brian Boucher, Vesa Toskala, Curtis McElhinney, who went on to become a great backup, but certainly not in Calgary. You know,
no. Jamie McLennan was a good backup in Calgary.
Yeah, still suspended last I checked.
You got to read his book, man. It's my favorite hockey book I've ever read.
He told me that. Yeah, it's actually on the shelf behind me.
Best hockey book. I loved that book. I love
it. Oh, frig.
All right. Well, there's a lot of them, Kyle. There's a lot of overrated and there's a lot of underrated. And
Yeah, it's funny the people that you think of. Like, I think the deepest cut I came up with today was Adrian O'Coin. And actually, on that note, I'll also say Roman Hamrlich was underrated his two seasons in Calgary.
Yep.
Whatever defensive stability Dion Phaneuf showed, I think was a result of Roman Hamrlich teaching him and playing alongside him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, a lot of good Flames players over the years. So.
Absolutely.
Summer. We're in the heat of summer. And soon... Soon we'll be getting back to the rinks and getting excited for the 26-27 season. But Flames Unfiltered is here every single week to talk Flames hockey with you. A couple episodes coming up here in the near future. They're going to be fun. previewing next year, a 300th episode special, and yeah, lots of fun stuff ahead for the remainder of the off season before we kick off season 8 of Flames Unfiltered.
That's crazy, isn't it? You told me before we came on that I've been a part of like 4 or 5 of them, which seems wild to me.
I think it's 5. I'm going to have to look, but yeah, it does not seem that. Like it's been that long that me and you have been hashing this out every week, but it's been a hell of a ride. And I don't know. I'm just going to say this. I there's not many. I don't know. We may be one of the longest running Flames podcasts.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I have to look at that for sure, but yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's always fun,
I was lots to talk about, and always some cool topics come up with, and this is really one of them. So throwing a few more everybody's way, and if anybody has a suggestion of one they'd like us to talk about, feel free to mention it to us.
Absolutely. All right, Kyle, enjoy another week of summer, and we're back next week.
Likewise. Thanks, everybody, and we'll chat with you real soon. Best bang for your buck. Big brute bouncers don't blink twice before they rough you up. Rather cut a check that's fat than a check that's clean. Everyone's trying to make ends meet. Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berude and Kyle Lewis. Your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.